good times for a change. See the luck I've had can make a good man turn bad. So please, 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 let me catch a muskie this time.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast of Producer Jay.
Steve. Good. How's it going?
I am in my rain suit. I am somehow sunburnt, windburnt, cold and hot all at once, my friend. It is.
So you're sweating one day and freezing the next?
What's the story just this all week? Day. It's just the nature of the beast here. I'm here broadcasting live from the Muskie Shop Jeep Studios beside my cabin. Oh, dude. It is something else. Well, you saw Hogzilla come in, did you not?
Yeah, I did.
You see the kind, yes, thank you. So went out little eagling there. I'm working on a project with Steve Herbeck, obviously a legend. And Herbie and I've spent a lot of time in a boat together, and we had Dr. Bob up who writes some stuff for Livingston as well. Went out and your boy did the thing. So Hog Alert, that's going to be out video very shortly. And an amazing fashion, Jay. I had a crazy good time with Herbie. We got some, probably what I would say is the most definitive video on Steve Herbeck talking about his tips and tactics.
You did?
And,
okay.
And a little bit more in depth. So that's something we're going to have. Livingston was going to do some stuff with that this winter. But the big news, Jay, are you ready?
Drum roll. Yeah. Boom.
The Mustang, boys. It's out.
Yep.
Jay threw it up on the site. It has been so absolutely slammed at the Muskie Shop for the last few weeks. They came in. Jay just said, get them up. We're all hide, right? So
yeah,
they are available. The second you hear this, they are already available for sale. We're not waiting. It's the season. People are buying and begging for them. So those are on the website. Check them out. And Jay, there's just a handful left actually after you put them up without even, you did like one social media post and they're pretty much gone. So if you want to get your hands on a Mustang anytime this century, now would be the time. You know, so they were kind of rocking out the door there. Jay, what's the feedback you're hearing already on them things?
They're flying out the door. Of course, everyone we've talked to between the two of us, you know, we know a few other people that have fished and they've all caught fish on them.
Yeah.
You know, we got them in the hands of a couple people locally. And I think the very next day we started getting texts. I got three on them this morning, or I got two of them already this morning, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that's no BS. That's like, oh, all right.
that was Troopy.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Christina Troopy, which is just a monster guide up in the North Woods. You know, she's quite dialed in on a swim bait bite, and that was one person we got in the hands of, and you go, that's somebody that throws swim baits a lot. Let's see what they think, and bam-o, whammo, 12 hours later, musky in the net.
Yep.
You know, score town, they call it, Jay.
They call it score town?
Do you know how long I've been in Canada, Jay? I can start saying A. Legally, I'm allowed to start saying A. So, So get your Mustangs. They are out and about, and I'm. Trust me, that is a big part of the my game plan I've been running here as of late, just because the size and profile and everything. So, that bait is a freaking rock star. Throw it out, turn the handle, musky on end. I mean, it is simple as that. I genuinely.
Yeah, and I know. A few more tips, because you and Herbie shot a little video.
Little thing.
We'll put that up on Tuesday, so that's a little bit more information for you guys out there on it.
Twice now. People always ask, you know, are you ever doing the instructional videos and catch one? We did the dive and rise thing, which I don't think is out yet. Is it, Jay?
No.
Okay.
No, not yet.
So I had a dinker doodle take a swipe while I'm trying to show people how to work some stuff. And then I'm doing it with freaking Herbeck, and we're spot locked just off the docks of Andy Myers, right? And we're just there. And I just throw it out there like this blase, you know, here, turn this, and freaking here it comes. And I didn't even see it because I'm trying to talk to the camera. And it you know, wasn't anything to write home about. But it's like, oh, my gosh, it's too. One of these days, it'll be in the midst of the instructional part. I'll just smack one as out of accident. But, man, I'll tell you what, freaking Herbie is a hoot. Love hanging out with that man. And got to hang out with Danny. And it is the second annual shitting of the bed for the Wabagoon Open for Team Herbeck and Paul.
Okay.
It was
grisly.
It was ugly. It was absolutely ugly. So,
what happened?
Just horrible. I mean, I've been just dialed, and then got dialed out a little bit. Right? You're coming. The problem I have is just I can't give up on big fish, right? It's like when I'm up here, if I see a 36, I'd like to move on. I'm not trying to be sanctimonious. You know, I may have grabbed more 40-inchers by the ears and just unhook them and turn them loose, right? That's kind of the vibe up here. It is what it is. That's not what I'm here for. You know, I do not have the mind of a tournament angler by any means. And Danny and I, it is so awkward in the boat. Like, he and I are like very, very cool, really good friends, and then you get in the boat and it just feels weird. Does that make any sense? Like, I'm
because you guys fish so differently.
Yeah, entirely differently. And then in the back of my head, because I'm freaking Mr. Antsy, I'm sitting there going, wonder if he thinks I'm controlling the boat, you know. I'm more worried about what he's thinking than catching fish.
You're like, is Danny thinking we're not covering water fast enough?
Right.
And I want to slow down. And he's like, freaking power fish.
He's power fishing. Like, I've got a Titan coming in. Here comes a freaking burbot tube laced over top of my retrieve, you know? So it's different, but we love doing it. And to be honest with you, when it comes to that tournament, we fool around, but you know, the Muskie Shop is kind enough. You guys, Muskie Shop donated a shield rod and some other stuff. Livingston's donating some baits. And Savage Gear's donating some baits for that Wabagoon Muskie Open. So, you know, we're not there to try to win. You know what I'm saying? It's more about me and Danny getting to hang out and you know, good excuse to do that and support that. Yeah, so, you know, but at the same time, it's just like, holy crap, we're idiots. We overcomplicate everything. We're both, you know, it's kind of like you get that dynamic duo together of who can come up with the most obtuse idea of what we should be doing, you know, when reality should probably just throw the bucktail at the weeds until something eats, but it's funny. But no, I got to do that. Jay, I didn't even tell you this. This is in real time. I'm going to head over to Andy's again this week, and Danny has a pile of the new beasts in his hands, the new beast reels. Okay. So he spent time with it. So we're going to get a little video shot of Danny Herbeck about the new beast. So that can complement when that product drops here very shortly. And as well, just going to go over some stuff with him about what's new at Savage Gear and try to get, you know, the same stuff we're doing with some other anglers. Let's pick his brain a little bit for Muskie Shop here. He's obviously hosting the podcast there for the Canadian side of things. I'll sneak over there this week and do that. But it's crazy, Jay. The other thing is this, folks. Prepare, Jay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I was born ready.
Steve. Are you standing up?
No.
You should sit down.
One step ahead of you.
All righty.
I'm in the Catnapper 5000, baby.
The Kidnapper 5000 or the Catnapper?
Catnapper 5000.
Anyway, folks, there is no escape from Jay's basement. Nonetheless, I've teased it, I've squeezed it, I've pleased it. And finally, we're getting them coming out tomorrow so you can check out the Mustang, which is a whole different animal than this. The first project I've ever done with Supernatural Big Baits. So, It's called the power lock. You got headlocks, you got lip locks, you got mat locks. It would sound really stupid if it was called the pole lock. Paul lock, right? So you got the power lock. So anyway, what this is, you're going to look at the website and go, it doesn't have any hooks. Well, let me explain. Old Duffy Poo, right? Old Duffy Poo is working on stuff in his basement and doing this and doing that. And, you know, it's, hold on, I just got to, was it getting ready for St. Clair in 1 week, putting new skirts on the crack is my favorite bait. They're apt to crush them when they decide to hit. Thank you, Dave. Podcast, he's in my phone as Podcaster Dave. Awesome guy. He just texted me while we're sitting here talking. Enjoy your crackins. Anywho, old Duffalophagus, right? Let me just try to call him. Bear with me, Jay. This is live, folks. Oh, no. If I try to call somebody, it stops recording. Never mind. So, I call up Duffy Poo and I say, hey, I got a problem. I cannot get small baits deep or bucktails deep the way that I want to. So what the power lock is a little invention I came up with and Delph and I dialed in, which is a way to put bucktails down deep or run crankbaits down deep that are not intended to go deep. So, you know, for years I've played with dipsy divers. There's articles I've written about that, how to get small baits deep in cold fronts or how to effectively troll blades. So I hate trolling bucktails and I hate trolling spinner baits with a million feet of line out. That's a great dynamic on a way to lose a fish, right? So came up with the power lock, which is the same dive curve as a supernatural big bait. You put this thing on, you put a 36 inch leader off the back and you put your bucktail on it, and you can put a bucktail anywhere you want in the water column at any speed. And then the fun part is this, it wanders like a headlock or a matlock. So let's say you want to troll a rattle trap in the spring on, say, maybe you want to put a 60-inch leader or whatever you come up with, right? Now you have a rattle trap down there on your trolling pass that's wandering as well. Or a bucktail. He went out with Aiden Freshley, which is a hell of a guide up in Minnesota. And they took him out on live scope and were checking the running depths, right? And the trick with this thing, what you want to do is you got to play with different baits. So it will pull double tens. It will pull single eights. It'll pull Booker 500s. It'll pull a giant killer. You've just got to dial in your leader length off the back and your running depths with this guy. And you can put a bait of any caliber in the water column anywhere you want it. The other thing, my problem was trolling blades. Guess what happens when you troll bucktails, Jay? You catch a fish. That's great. Muskie in the net. We get him in. And then we all go, awesome. Now let me get the other bucktails in that are snagged. Right? You got three lines out. Say you run three blades or three bucktails. Bam-o, wham-o, muskie in the net. Now you got to get two out of the rocks every freaking time. Or they're sunk on the bottom in the weeds.
Gotcha.
With the power lock.
The perils of sinking baits.
Yeah. Yes. So this floats a bucktail and keeps it from going to the bottom. So resetting is awesome. Because it's kind of that thing of like when you're trolling like that, you go, wow, we caught a fish. Wow, now I got to deal with this. So that really helps things. And then kind of my treatise on trolling has been I want appropriate running depth at the shortest distance so that I have trolling control, right? If I need to turn or I need to hit a point, I don't have 150 feet of line out or I've got some heavy bucktail out there that's not going to play nice. So I'm able to really do a lot of interesting things with this that could never be done before in trolling, which to tell you flatly, I have four of them, and the ones I have are hilarious. We just did them in whatever paint he had laying there, and Duff made them up, and I've played with them for over a year, and I've had this little secret for about over a year. And it has changed my trolling game with small baits. It's ridiculous. And so I'm able to put down bucktails and contour things, Jay, which is insanity. You can't contour troll a spinnerbait or a bucktail very well because you have so much line out to try to get depth. With this, I can freaking troll a weed edge and snake the weed edge with a bucktail or a spinnerbait, and it's just like pulling a hard bait. So anybody that's a serious troller, me saying that, you're going, no way. Yes way. So you have complete control of your blade baits behind this, complete control of small minnow baits. I've done very, very, very well taking shallow raiders, cranes, slammer, fatty minnows, things of that nature, and pulling them behind this because on that shorter leader behind that bait, it's just wild. It's absolutely wild. Now, I don't know what the regulations are in most states, but on this power lock, there is a front screw in eye for a hook. I've had them hit both. So it's like kind of like, you know, the Burger King rig deal where you put a spoon
behind. I see what you're saying. Okay.
You would put a spoon behind a believer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a modern version of that where you've got a headlock that has wander and wobble and all this fun stuff where you can put anything behind it. And, you know, depending on your regs, I think Minnesota's weird about it. But now you have basically a flasher, a vertical planer that will get hit as well as you put the other bait behind it.
Right. What you're saying, yeah, treat it like a vertical planer. Yeah. You're legal anywhere.
Right.
It's got no hook now. But you might be also able to run a hook on that in case it does something, does hit the front one in certain areas. Okay.
And then the piece resistance, you tie it all together and you put a freaking Mustang swim bait behind it and put a swim bait down at 15 feet and watch what happens.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so very excited about that. And you know, much props to Duff for putting up with my crazy idea. And
Price is right, too, on those things, Steve.
Yeah, well, nobody else is going to have them. I know that much. And so if you're, like I said, it's a troller's delight. Now, you can, Jay, the funny thing is this. Just imagine how complicated you could get. Just put your power lock on your planer board. You can get really overly complicated now, right? put the power lock on a planer board with a spoon behind, you know, it's just goofy. But it works. I'm super excited about that. And then you got, once again, your Mustang, but... Well, Jay, what's kicking around up there right now, man? What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
Busy week. A lot of people in. Big tournament in Eagle River. It's that there's 1,200 people in Eagle River fishing at that tournament's called. So that's finished up a couple hours ago. I haven't heard any reports yet.
Right.
It rained and thunderstormed all day yesterday. So not real conducive for that. I know you guys have been getting, you know, on and off, you know, heat, cold, storms, like blowing through. So
you've had
some active stuff to deal with too, but we've certainly had that all week. So, other than that, yeah, fishing's been good. And then, the cool down's coming. So we've got a cooler week this week and finally got some cooler nights. And I mean, timing wise, you know, it couldn't be better. We're knocking on, and people are starting to order, you know, sucker components.
Yeah.
I noticed on the orders coming in late last week.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, late August, that's when it kicks in. We sold out of suckers, I think, on Thursday or something like that. It was crazy. All these guys were coming in for those. And we'll be having a video on, I think you did one on sucker fishing too, just kind of like rehashing the basics.
Yeah. Well, and Jay, just a rewarning, come back through. I've got some more stuff up my sleeve here.
Okay. Well, you're coming back through next weekend, so yeah, that'll be good. We'll shoot some more stuff.
Get her lined up. People have been appreciating that. And I appreciate the emails, and Jay does too. Everybody that's kind of hit that stuff and gotten out on the big old swamp.
Yeah, we've gotten some good emails and texts and some cool people stopping in saying very, very nice things. So it's always encouraging and nice to hear that. So
absolutely,
I appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely, freaking, it's staggering. But here we are. Oh man, I'll tell you, feast or famine, Jay. when the weather's like this, feast or famine. So tomorrow I'm very excited. It's supposed to rain like a half inch and just be a high of like 55.
55?
Yeah.
Cool here too, but not that bad. Okay. Well, yeah. That's a shock to the system.
Well, in the Jodester home, it's like 95 degrees.
Yeah. Wow.
And then the fun
sounds like a good day to troll tomorrow.
You know, put your power lock on behind a blade planer board, put your Mustang behind. let's just make it real complicated.
What do you think? Back to Mustang, have you done any experimenting with speed on that thing? Like what? Because obviously it's designed to be a casting bait, but most swim baits don't excel at high speeds, and I have no idea when you retrieve fast how many miles an hour that is.
Oh, I don't. Bob knows. We went through that.
Yeah, he would know, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Now you'll notice on the Mustang, it's got side fins on it.
Yeah.
And if you look, they're pointed downward, slightly down, which helps it dig in. So you can obviously blow it out. I mean, if you got like a Revo Toro high speed and you're just but you can actually work that bait very quick without it blowing out. So I couldn't tell you the exact speed, but for me with swim baits, the combo right now that I would run if I'm fishing, say, northern Wisconsin, or I'm fishing, just average water that's seeing pressure, but they still hit blades, I'd have a guy, single seven, and you got a guy on this. I mean, the swim bait bite has just been a hot, hot thing this last 2 years for sure. And so throw it out, turn the handle, get it over the weeds. When you get away from the weeds, maybe slow it down, rip it, spank it a little bit, give it a whackety schmackety. That's one thing I like about paddle tails, is you're not so concerned about constant lift, or with blades you can't stop them and really be effective. And swim baits just stand out, especially these fish that see pressure, Jay. Pressure,
a little surge or a little stop in the bait, sometimes that's all it takes is to trigger something that might be following,
Yeah, it'll get her done there for sure. But yeah, I said, the Mustang, I've been, running that thing now for a hot minute and can't go wrong. I mean, you just can't go wrong. It's probably the best bait I've come up with as far as just dummy proof. Throw it out, turn the handle. And again, if you haven't seen it, we did that comparison video. Whereas like comparing swim baits for the Muskie Shop. And everything's got its time and place, but if you're just hucking and chucking, this is the one, because it's got way more thump. It pulls in far more fish. Just simply does. Anyway, let's get to the Q&A here. Looking at the phone. Oh, perfect. Hey guys, I'm a European piker, and I would like to say thank you for the confidence Muskie 360 is contributing to my fishing. I look forward to the podcast every week, and it gives me a lot of inspiration. The Kraken paddle tail and 10-inch tightener are the deal on the systems I fish. That's awesome. Thank you. Wow. Cool. No question. Just that's awesome. Actually, I'm going to be over there here shortly, Jay. Believe it or not. The pain train for me does not end. Do you realize that, Jay?
Yeah. What country are you going to first again? What was the big show in?
So going to Brussels.
Belgium.
Yeah. Belgium. And then we got freaking... I'll be visiting team. Gonna do some Netherlands stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Run around there. So, yay. I'll sleep all winter, folks. Grant, need help on fishing Twin City Muskie Lakes in the midsummer. Can't find them in the weeds or unstructured, it seems. What am I doing wrong? Speaking of Dr. Bob, that was a discussion we had. There are certain times where these fish are just gonna go lay in the mud or suspend. And some of these systems, you're far better off to move on to something else. If you look at, those metro lakes and things of that nature that see a tremendous amount of pressure, they're warmer than they ever have been, right? Something we were discussing where, the water temperatures, you can't, no longer can you fish those bodies of water all year long, right? You'll hit these hot waters periods and all this stuff. The best thing I can do is branch out. When it shuts down to that nature, branch her out. Okay. Eric. I was hoping to send this in an email, but it appears this is the best way to reach out. While I do have lots of questions related to how to become a better angler, I'm mainly reaching out to see if you'd be interested in... Okay, no. We will deal with that later. Somebody asking us to sponsor an event. James Titan question. I have been throwing the Titan a ton this year in Colorado Tiger Muskie and Pike. It's quickly become one of my favorite lures, especially fishing in around weeds. Occasionally, I'm running into an issue of the fish blowing out of the water and completely throwing the bait before I can even get hooks in the fish. Any tips to connect more with those fish? This past weekend, I landed 3 and lost 2 from blowing it out. So, Dive and Rise is much like a topwater lure where at times they'll surge at it so hard it blows it out of the water. And that's just part of, like, when you, Jay, you've seen that with like Top Raiders and Lake X, you know, they'll come in on that thing and just go ballistic on it. The only thing you can do is if you react before they react, but it's about impossible to do. Right. So if you're not seeing the follow, if you're unaware that there's a fish behind that, it's just going to happen because they will come in so hard on that bait that they actually push the water out. You know, the bait moves because the fish is pushing at it. If you imagine, you know, here's this.
Yeah, the bait's backing up and rising. That's when
right. And he's surging at it, forcing it even further.
Right. And it's already on the rise in the water. Yeah, he's pushing water, so it's aiding to the thing.
Right. There's
fleeing from the muskie zone. Yeah.
Which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those deals of, if you know he's there, say you move this fish earlier or something of that nature, I mean, you're talking lightning reflexes to be able to do that. But it's I've seen it, Jay, and this is going to sound like ninja moves here. Watch the float up, right? The only tip I have on this, and this transcends the Titan, Suix, Bobby's, anything. They don't. Unless something's wrong, like a six starts getting water soaked, or you know, a bobby starts getting water soaked, or you got something on it, where the bait has started to have a slower float back, look for a faster float back, right? And that's a matter of like paying attention to your line laying on the water. And I've noticed it kind of, it's the same as fishing a tube, Jay. The line goes out faster than it should. That makes sense, right? So, you know, the fall is faster than it should be. There's a fish with it on its mouth. With Dive and Rise, if the line just suddenly is coming up instantly, pick up the slack and bear down, right? But that's a really fast reaction thing. You've got to be really dialed in, really paying attention. But if you keep that line tight, when you notice that, like, oh, that doesn't look right, you don't even have time to say it. You just have time to notice and react. And
yeah, because you might not feel much because they're swimming towards you when they're surging at it. So they're putting much, tension on the line at all.
No, the line gets slack. It's like,
more slack. Yeah.
We're talking milliseconds here. Where I'm always paying, like, it's like Dr. Bob was just fishing with me and, you know, not a lot of talking while we're fishing. It's just dialed.
And you were on that Titan thing where you were running them with no weights because you want them nice and snappy.
Buddy.
It's like snap, snap. I'd be like snap, 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 hang, snap, snap, snap.
Oh, there's about to be we're doing a Titan. Take me to Lockview to Zaire with the weeds as thick as they are, and I'll show you something. I mean, the weedless nature of that bait is just through the roof. Absolutely through the roof. And, you know, just, I'm so dialed back in on that. I mentioned it before on here where it's like, okay, you throw the same thing for so long and, you know, whatever. But, you know, just got dialed on it. Just dialed on Titans again. And I know why I made it now. But if you can get the right snap and the right line play, you're getting just a devastating left to right. But like I said, that what he's asking though, I mean, that means they're really aggressively trying to hit that bait. If they're blowing it out of the water, they're rocking at it, right? Just the best thing I can tell you is watch if that bait acts funny or something goes, feels not right. If you're dialed in on it, you'll notice, just turn the handle. Tighten up on it. As far as like tighten the line. Mm-hmm. You know, so when he gets there, that thing's actually going a smidge back down. Again, this is milliseconds. You know, or if I see one and he's coming, it's like if he's coming like a freaking piss missile, I'll get the slack out of that line with the expectation that he's about to hit her. So anyway,
yeah,
good deal. He's smashing them on that. I love it. Okay, James, I just want to thank you guys for all the wisdom and knowledge you share with us listeners every week. I just got back home from a northern Minnesota trip, and thanks to your teaching, I finally landed my first real Hogasaurus Rex. Congratulations. On the very first night there, I took my brother and nephew to the best known ridge in the lake for an hour before the major. It wasn't long, third cast with all double black 12s, and I hooked and landed my first fish in a lifetime. She was 51 with a 27-inch girth. That's a dandy fish. Ooh. Once again, thank you for all the knowledge. Not only were we on the fish and what to use and how to use it, but also caring for these fish, how to handle them, netting. Thank you. And there's no question there. This is a cool part of the time of year, Jay. Everybody's fishing. We got them dialed all year long. So congratulations on that fish. Again, structure fishing for the win. Always, Jay. Always.
Beautiful.
Great always, always, always. Bill, West Virginia Creeker.
Ooh.
Yes. I see muskie eat line through swim baits fairly often while fishing for big smallmouth, but I rarely see them discussed as a viable muskie option. Baits like the Z-Man Shadtron seem like a perfect busky presentation, but they don't really work with standard muskie leaders. Nautable wire and have at it. He's talking about small bass swim baits and what do we do for a leader, right? So you'll have bass anglers all the time that are fishing bass swim baits. They're not prepared with a fluorocarbon line or a leader. Well, I just gave the answer. Fluorocarbon line. Fish your bass setup, tie it up, and they swim baits. You're not going to have the same issues where you're trying to put a leader on this small little bass bait, right? Also, a way that you can overcome that is what's that Albright knot, right, Jay? The crazy, what's that line-to-line knot that's like kind of, is that an Albright?
Blood knot?
Slip knot.
Slip knot? I don't know.
Wait and bleed. It's
blood knot.
No, I think it's, Herbie ties it all the time. I believe it's the Albright.
It sounds right.
I have all of the world's knowledge in my hand here, but yet I'm asking questions to braid to fluoro knot. Let's see.
Nail knot.
Can you use Albright. Nail knot? Modified Albright. There you go. That is a super clean knot that's not going to mess with your bass fishing, right? And that's what I would do on a really busky-esque bait that can't handle, because there's some of these bass bait.
You're talking like probably like a half ounce or a two-third ounce swim bait, something in that nature and size.
Somewhere in there. Nothing. It's a bass bait. Yeah, you know.
You can't use, you know, big swivels. You can't use really thick lines.
No, it's gonna screw it and kill the action. So that's what I would do is tie Albright knot and move on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, I'm going on a five-day trip in the UP in Michigan in a few weeks. I'm wondering where I should focus my time. It's a 350-acre lake with stained water. Max depth is only 27. Any color specific structure I should try to find? Thanks for any advice. So, when it comes to that, weather trumps all, right? Just dealt with a week of just tumultuous weather. Feast or famine, Jay, right? Feast or famine. Nothing in between. So, first thing you need to do is get a read on the weather and pick your time. Right? Timing is very important, especially this year. I can't convey that enough, but majors, minors are at play, You know, I kind of fluctuate between how much I care about the moon phase, but here we are, right? It seems to matter more so than anything. So pay attention to that. As far as Lyra's election, you can start going big now, right? There's nothing wrong with bigger base this time of year. Nothing wrong with it. But it also depends on what your goal is. You know, if it's a 350-acre lake, that's not a big lake. You know, what's your population density? How many muskies are there? And what is the outlier size class? You know, is the biggest fish in that lake 51? Is it 48? Or is it stifled at a 4-footer? You know, there's always a big fish. And that's one thing I like about northern Wisconsin. Every one of those freaking northern Wisconsin lakes, there's a 4-footer or 50 in them. There is, you know. Even like a wildcat there in Boulder Junction, which is kind of like a numbers lake. You know, Smitty's, I think they got a 48 out of there.
Yeah.
So every lake's got its big fish. But what are you targeting? Now, structurally, we're going to structurally select what we're doing based on weather. Right? Don't go out there and say, let's hit the weeds. And as simple as it is, the crappier the conditions, the more structure fishing we need to do. You know, last week you heard me whining and crying because I lost. I got Donkey Kong this week, Jay. But the one that opened that snap up, it was. I can't even. They're not even comparable. You know what I'm saying? Like. You know, the one that Livingston put up and the one I got with Herbie and we're out on Eagle didn't even compare to the one that I had open that snap. Just tear it apart.
Just no comparison. Scary fish in there. That's crazy.
There's some scaries. So, you know, it depends on what you're looking for. I'm always on, you know, I can catch as many dinker doodles as I want in Wisconsin. So, you know, choose your own adventure. Remember those books, Jay, you'd be reading it, and it's like you pick your, you know, well, if you, you know, you do this, turn to page 342. So, you know, what do you want to do? If it's about catching a muskie or it's about catching big fish, totally different thought processes, right? You know, throw a black bucktail at the weeds, it'll eventually happen kind of deal versus, are we going whole hog or are we going full tilt? You know, it's really going to be a decision that you have to make on your own and really consider what you want to do. But look at the structures, study the map. If you don't have a map, get out on the lake. And the number one thing that people find themselves doing is they're so excited they got vacation energy that they just want to start hucking and chucking. Get out there, do your 3-point bait check. See where we're at, right? I've been living and dying by it up here, Jay. And do your bait check and then make sure we understand what's happening structurally and then go from there. That's going to be the best tip. What kind of bait you have on is immaterial. Baits are about running depth. And, you know, if you're covering the right running depth and you've got the right thump and vibration, whether it be blades or a glide bait or whatever it might be, they'll come screaming with their hair on fire. You just got to get close enough. Oh, goodness. Jay, make me food. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten.
What's for dinner in Canada tonight?
I have no clue. I haven't eaten in like a month. I feel like I haven't eaten in a month. That's for sure.
I mean, is it up to you guys to like stock a refrigerator and cook your own stuff? Or is there...
No.
Like at the cabins, is there a, you know, some type of kitchen or something where they cook every night?
I got that whole ordeal sorted out pretty good. We got the food on lockdown down at the Twin Towers, baby. Anyway, whatever. I got to get back out on the pond, Jay.
Well, I'll see you in a few days, huh? Later this week.
We're going to be at it, and I'm... Still chasing Hogzilla here, Jay.
Time's running out. You better get him.
I don't know if it'll happen this year. I hate PBs, but for me to break that number, it's going to take something ridiculous. And I don't think I'm going to get another shot this year. It'll probably be a couple years before I get another shot like that. But, you know, you just keep swinging the bat and doing it and keep catching dandy pike along the way. Catch you a dandy. Cut there, catch you a dandy pike.
So, they call it a mixed bag.
I hate those freaking. Dude, I have one today. Just grind fest. You know, I'm pulling 3-7 with headlocks.
Which you're like, there's one, and it's a
no
pikey duel.
No, it just the perfectly executed glancing blow off the tip of a reef, right? I know the depth, I know the running depth, I know I'm going to make contact with it, and I know if there's a fish there, in about 10 feet, it's going to eat. I turn the boat, and I'm like, there he is, freaking pike, and then it's foul hook. It's not foul hook, but it's hook. It found the other trebles, if you will, right? So you've got one there, and it's got the other headlock hook, like, in its back. So it's coming in all screwing. It looks really good, and you're very excited because now you're kind of pulling a pike sideways for a second. So,
you know. Like, hey, it feels pretty good. Feels pretty good. This is a good one. Get the net.
And 30.
After the perfectly executed reef running, perfect trolling, to the foot. Just
to the foot.
Ding it. Just, you know, you either miss it or you snag it. Or you just ding it, and you want to just ding it and have that thing, you know, reflect right off of it. I've been there.
You could print t-shirts, just ding it. That's how I want to troll. And here it comes, and freaking here I got a meter pike. It's like, yay, wonderful.
Yeah, whoopity-doo-dah. Uh-huh. Bummer.
Checker back in the lake.
Sucks to be you.
Oh, well, you know, freaking hog hunting it is. But, staying on the bigs, staying on the pigs.
Day in, day out, baby.
Anyway, all right, Jaybird, say goodnight. I'm going to go back out on the hunt, buddy.
All right, see you, Steve. Night, everybody. Thank you.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Good times for a change. See the luck I've had can make a good man turn bad. So please, please, please let me catch a muskie this time. Haven't caught a skee in a long time. See the luck I've had can make a good man bad. So for once in my life, let me get what I want. Lord knows it would be the first time. Lord knows it would be the first time.